The Bible says in Psalm 75:6, for promotion and power come from nowhere on earth. Did you catch that? Nowhere on earth, but only from God. He promotes one and disposes another.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Love Never Fails. Pastor Bill continues his study in the Old Testament book of Nehemiah today with the message titled, The Cure for Conflict. Now, Pastor.
We're in the book of Nehemiah in the Old Testament tonight. We're doing a study through Nehemiah. Remember that Nehemiah is an incredible, wonderful study on leadership. If you want to be a leader, that's a book that you should study often. And remember that Nehemiah, he wasn't a prophet. He wasn't a priest. He was just simply the king's cupbearer. But he was a man who was after God's own heart, if you will, like King David. And he was wanting to serve the Lord. And so he was released there from the king Artaxerxes in Persia, comes to Jerusalem and to build a wall. And that's what we've been doing for the last, four chapters. And so tonight, as we look at this great book, remember that Nehemiah, after he talked with all the people of Israel, he said, listen, the people shouted to him, said, let us rise up and let us build and set our hand to this good work for the Lord. Anytime a Christian, the church, any people of God, you stand up and say, okay, I'm going to rise up and I'm going to do this good work for the Lord, you better be prepared and expect for opposition. Amen? Because that is just going to happen. And in the midst of that opposition, we've learned that no matter what we're facing, we keep working for the Lord. We don't stop, we don't slow down, and we certainly don't quit. You know, when you think about God's leaders, man, listen, what a privilege to be called by Almighty God, one of His people, one of His leaders, amen? And that's what we're looking at tonight. We left off now the last time. Remember the opposition that was coming. They wanted to destroy the wall. They wanted to destroy the children of Israel as they were building it. So remember what Nehemiah did. He told his troops, if you will, or really just the simple workers, men and women, he told them, he said, in one hand you have the tools to build with, and in the other hand you have your weapon. Matter of fact, it says that they didn't even take off their clothes. They were in constant readiness. You know what I'm saying? And that's what they were doing here. So they were not only building, but they were battling as they built. And that's exactly what we do. Don't ever be deceived. The moment that you start building anything for God, you're always asking for a fight. So be prepared to fight. Amen? It's called the good fight of faith. Remember the law of leadership. Nothing happens until someone provides leadership for it, whether it's the home or the marriage or the church or our nation. Someone has to provide leadership. It's so vital. It's so important. And each day, if you are a leader, listen carefully now, every day sends you a new set of challenges. I mean, it's never ending, and that's just the way it is. So for the last four chapters, we've looked at the opposition, basically, that has been coming from the outside. But now it comes from a place that we wish it had never come from, and that is, it comes from the inside. You know, Nehemiah is about to face one of the greatest problems in our study, and that is internal conflict. Boy, when that happens, it, loved one, it can be so deadly. When any people, when they rise up and they fight each other, number one, they're ineffective, and number two, they are unproductive. But whenever the children of God, whenever they start to oppress one another or have conflict with one another, they're literally doomed. Jesus told us that a house divided against itself, it cannot stand. So in chapter 5 now, beginning in verse 1, let's look at the cure for conflict, but right now we're going to see the cause of this conflict, Nehemiah 5:1. And there was a great outcry of the people and their wives against their Jewish brethren. For there were those who said, "We, our sons and our daughters are many, therefore let us get grain that we may eat and live." So it's almost like rich man, poor man, if you will. You know, you have the Jewish brethren, they're wealthy, and then you have the people that are just the workers, if you will, and they're very poor. And they said, "Listen, we need grain. We're dying. We're starving to death." And it says, when it says we want grain, it literally means we're going to come and take that grain by force because we are hungry and we have so many mouths to feed. I want you to notice now, the outcry wasn't against Nehemiah, and we'll see just in a moment. And one of the most damaging evils that can happen is man's inhumanity against man. But whenever it is God's people that practice that, in other words, when God's people oppress God's people, there's not a greater wickedness than that. And that's what we're seeing right here. It says, and there was another group. Look at this one now. There were also some who said, "You know what? We've mortgaged our lands, our vineyards, our houses, that we might buy grain." And here's the reason: because of the famine. So because there was little food available. So this second group, it looks like they're probably like the landowners, because it says there they mortgaged everything, their land, their vineyards, their homes. So they were in horrible, horrible debt. But they did that so they could feed their families. You know, believe it or not, you know what? You can live today, if we bring this up today, we can live without an iPhone. Amen? Matter of fact, you know, we should really have the cafe where no cell phones. I'm feeling it. No cell phones. You know, it's called the Koinonia Cafe. It means, "Hello, how you doing? A little intimacy." You know, not the, "I don't know, don't bother me." You know what I'm, okay, never mind. I tell you, I don't know if you believe this or not, but I'm getting ready to go completely off grid because I don't want the iPhone controlling my life. I'm serious. When I go to a restaurant, I'm not going to set it out. I'm going to set it right there in my pocket, and I don't care how many times it buzzes. I don't care. It's not going to control my dinner. See, we can do without iPads. We can do without iPhones. We can do without the internet, pedicures, manicures, all those sissy things. You know what I'm saying? You know, but loved one, listen, we can't do without In-N-Out Burger because we will die. You know what? You have to have food to live. Amen? So this is what this is all about. And it says, and there were also those who said, "We've borrowed money," and here's the reason, "for the king's tax on our lands and our vineyards." So the third group here, they had to borrow money because King Artaxerxes, the tax that he placed upon the lands and so forth, they couldn't pay it. Then they had to borrow. And now verse 5, "And yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, and our children," well, they're just as good, they're saying, "as your children, their children, and indeed we are forcing our sons, our daughters to be slaves, and some of our daughters have been brought into slavery. It is not in our power to even redeem them, for other men have our lands and vineyards." Boy, this is a sad group. They had to borrow money to live. And when they borrowed the money to live, they were unable to pay the money back to the money lenders. So they had to force their children, sell their children as debt slaves, if you will, in order to work off the debt. And they said, "We have no property now. We can't help them." In other words, they were in deep trouble. Debt will always get you in deep trouble. Amen? Now, the real problem was not Nehemiah. The real problem we found in verse 1 was the Jewish brethren. The outcry was against them. Now, the Bible tells us in the book of Exodus 22:25 about lending. God's word says, "If you lend money to any people, any of my people," God says, "who are poor among you, you shall not be like a money lender to him. You shall not charge him interest." So if he needs money and you're going to loan him the money, okay, but you're going to give it to him interest free. You're not going to charge him an exorbitant price to loan the guy money. And that's what the Jewish brethren were doing. Now, about the slavery issue, selling your sons or daughter into slavery, Leviticus 25:39 says this: "If one of your brethren who dwells by you becomes poor, and sells himself to you, that's willingly, because he wants to pay the debt, you shall not compel him to serve as a slave. It goes on and says, you'll not treat this person as a slave. He's your brother. You're going to treat him as a hired servant, and you're going to love him, and you're going to treat him with kindness. So the Jewish brethren, they were exploiting their own people. You need some food? No problem. Just give me the house here, and you know, let's mortgage it out. I'll give you as much food as you need for your family. The problem is they couldn't pay back. You know, listen, money management today and then has always been a must in every generation, isn't it? Have you ever heard of the 80-20 principle? The 80-20 principle is really a pretty good principle. You know, you live on 80%, if you will. You give 10% to God, and then you put 10% in savings. Now, not everyone practices that, but that's a good principle. It says in Proverbs 22:7, it says, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. So, boy, debt is always a huge burden, isn't it? Today, you know, in our modern society, we have what we call financial planners. I thank God for them. Praise God that we have them. But, you know, we have the wisest financial planner in all of the universe. And how to plan is called the Word of God. Amen? And that's who we need to be turning to. You know, a Christian shouldn't borrow if he can't pay it back. Shouldn't do that because you're going to get in trouble. See, if a lot of people in the church today, they're so deep in debt, and we've all been there. I've been there. I hate debt, don't you? Yes. Man, thank God we're debt free. I don't even like to see a bill. When bills come in, I think Merlinda just brought a bill a moment ago. She did. I do remember now. Thank God, you know. And I said, he just dropped it off. I said, have a check cut right now and get that guy paid. You know, the workman is worthy of his hire. Amen. Yes. We want to just owe no man nothing. But, you know, the thing is, if you're in such bondage to debt that you can't give anything to God, you're in trouble. You know, Proverbs 3:9-10, what does it tell us to do? It says, bring all of your first fruits, give unto the Lord, so your barns will be full and so forth. Jesus said in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, praise down, shaken together, running over into your bosom. And, you know, with the same measure that you measure out, it'll be measured back to you. I read a story, let me read it to you. It's about a revival in Oklahoma. It says, the banker in that little town was not a Christian, never went to church, but he mentioned to some of the friends in the coffee shop, he said, you know, these Christians are really having a revival down at the church. And they said, well, how do you know that they're having a revival? And he said, well, because all the Christians are paying their bills. Kevin, please don't give me any more of these jokes. That's the last time I'm going to listen to him, you know? All right, let's look at the cure now for conflict. In other words, we were setting up what was wrong, the causes. Now let's look at the cure. Verse 6. Now, this is where you need to start really listening to this. It says about Nehemiah. Look what happened. And I became very, what? Okay, if you look that Hebrew word up, it means he was sizzling with anger. He was burning with anger. And the reason is that the Jewish brethren, they knowingly violated God's law. They knew what they were doing, and they knew that they were supposed to live by the word of God. So he says, I became very angry when I heard their outcry and these words. Never forget this. You've heard me say it a million times. Here in this ancient scripture that we're reading tonight, this is again proof that leaders are the last to know what's going on. Do you understand? It's so true. People act like I know everything that's happening at Calvary Chapel, and I'm usually the last to find out about anything that's happening at Calvary Chapel because no one tells me. That's why it says, I became very angry when I heard their outcry. In other words, the things that were going. Now listen, the cure for conflict, get angry. I'm not talking about in the flesh. I'm talking about spirit-led righteous anger. Amen? That's what was happening right here. Let me ask you a question. If someone came into your home and they were destroying your home, destroying your children, or they came into your ministry, they came into the kids' church or the singles or the youth group or the cafe or the share groups, and they started destroying that, let me tell you something, man. Are you going to be a pacifist? You better get angry. You better get really upset. But again, this is righteous anger. It's not, I'm just mad, I'm going to do something about it. I remember one night many years ago, David Hawking was teaching here, and he had his little book table, instead of set up in the main lobby, he set it up, well, matter of fact, we hadn't even built yet. And he set it up right there for his books and, you know, CDs and all of that. And there had been a group in the church who was kept spreading a false doctrine. I'd go out into the parking lot after the service, and everyone's windshield had little flyers on it, but it was all false doctrine. And I corrected him about three times. I said, if you spread any more of these lies at this church, I said, I'm going to personally throw you out of the building. That's exactly what I said. Well, that night, it was a Sunday night service. David Hawking was here teaching on Israel. He was out there in the lobby. I just happened to come out from downstairs, and the entire group was threatening him, yelling at him. And man, I looked at them and I said, why would you come into this church and sow discord, sow lies, and then at the same time create such conflict here in this church? And I said, I want you to, all of you, to get right through that door right this minute. And they said, are you throwing us out of the church? I said, if you don't walk out, I'm going to throw you out. You know, but I was younger then. And so they all left, went out of the door. He says, well, I'll tell you what, on Sunday morning, next Sunday morning, I'm going to have Channel 8 News out here and 1,000 people protesting. And I just said, I can use all the coverage, advertisement I can get. Amen. See, the Bible, but I was angry, but it wasn't like I was, you know, anger like, it was a righteous thing. Do you understand? They were violating the Word of God. They were using the Word of God to their own profiteer, if they were, and so forth. You know, I'll tell you something, leaders get angry, and it's not wrong if it's a righteous anger. You see, the Bible says in Ephesians 4:26, be ye angry and sin not. In other words, it is possible to have anger, righteous anger, and not sin. And that's what Nehemiah was. Listen, whenever you as a believer or you as a leader in this church or any church, when you see a conflict or division, if you don't get angry, not at the sinner, but at the sin, because you know what that kind of sin is going to produce, the fruit of it that produces here in the church. Amen? Boy, I tell you, you should be so upset. I mean, you should be angry when you see that in the body of Christ, because God hates those who sow conflict or discord in the church of God. Now listen, would you let someone come into your home and do that? No. Well, here, come right on in. Would you come in and divide my wife and I, cause some conflict with my children? No, you wouldn't tolerate that for a moment. See, we're the body of Christ. We're one body. We're one loaf. Amen? We're members one of another. It says in 1 Corinthians 12:25, there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. If one member suffers, all members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. Now look at verse 7. Now, he's mad. He's angry, and he should be. But after serious thought, look what he did, I rebuked, he's not watering anything down here or compromising, but watch, I rebuked the nobles, I rebuked the rulers and said to them, here's the charge, each of you is exacting usury. In other words, each of you, you're charging interest from his brother. In other words, you're sinning against God. You're sinning against your own brother. And so he says, so I called a great assembly against him. So number one, the cure for conflict is this. Man, listen, think before you speak. Amen? Listen, when you're angry, you can really say some bad things. So you got to really be cool. In other words, you're going to create more conflict. It's like I tell the staff all the time, leaders, before you engage, always disengage the individual. Don't ever just come out and engage immediately. So if you're angry, if there's a major issue, a major problem, slow down, just cool off. Don't let your hot head take, you know what I mean? So what did Nehemiah do? I'm talking about leadership now. Nehemiah was angry, but Nehemiah waited. Have you ever received an email and you want to fire one right off because of what the email said? You know what I mean? I've learned in the last couple of months. No. you learn, no, let that email, just because they hate you on the radio station or whatever, just be calm and pray it through and just relax. James 1:19 says this, "So my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear," here it comes, "slow to speak, slow to anger, slow to wrath, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." So think before you speak. The next one, the next cure for conflict is, I want you to notice what he did. He first went privately to the party that was causing the conflict and the issue. He went to the nobles. He went to the rulers. He didn't go to everybody there in Jerusalem. He just went to them, and he confronted privately the offending party. In other words, you know, he just went to directly to the source. And you know what? If you're a leader and you enjoy confronting people, you're in trouble, because no one enjoys confronting issues. No one. You know, no one, you know, Matthew, what is it, 18, 15 through 17. You know, if you have a problem with somebody, you know, if they've sinned against you or whatever, you know, you go to that person privately. Then you go, and if they won't listen, you call a couple witnesses. If they won't listen, then you call them before the church and so forth. And if they don't listen, then you treat them as an unbeliever. Man, that's a tough thing to do. Amen? So to confront other people, it's hard. And you know what? If you're going to be a leader, you have to have the courage to confront. And that's a tough thing to do. And the way that you do it, you always confront in love. You never, ever hurt. It breaks my heart if I hurt people and I say things the wrong way. You know what I mean? You learn, you know, if you're going to lead, you've got to learn to develop that skill set in your life. Again, you speak that truth in love, and you know, here's what you're going to learn. When you have to confront someone as a leader, say in the church, you're not going to please every person that you confront in love, but loved one, you will please God, and that's who you serve. Amen? You don't serve man. You know, the Bible says in Titus 3:10, it tells us, and Titus, of course, was the pastor that was left there to clean up the issues. Paul left him there in Crete. And it says, you know, Paul told Titus, he said, reject or literally have nothing to do with a divisive man after the first and second admonition. You warn them once, you warn them twice. He said, that's enough. He says, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. So Paul says, stay away from that person. It's over with. He tells us in Romans 6:17, he says, I urge you, brethren, he says, I want you to note or mark or literally keep your eye on those who cause divisions and conflicts and so forth, offenses in the body of Christ. He says, listen, I want you to watch them because they're going to destroy the body. So it's difficult to go and do those things. He says in verse 7, he says, and after serious thought again, I rebuked the nobles, rulers. Remember, now he did that privately. And then look what he says at the very end. So I called a great assembly against them. So what did he do? Well, he publicly dealt with the public divisions or the conflict was there. You know, whenever there is a conflict, leaders have to bring that out in the open. The longer that it's under the covers, it just keeps sizzling, doesn't it? And then rumors start, and this starts, and oh, what happens? But the reason for this is that God doesn't want the world to see that kind of sinful conflict in the church. Look at verse 8. And he said to them, according to our ability, we have redeemed our Jewish brethren who were sold to the nations. Now indeed, will you even sell your brethren? And that's what they were doing. Or should they be sold to us? Then they were silenced, the Jewish brethren that he's been speaking to, and found nothing to say. And then I said, what you are doing is not good. It's not right. Should you not walk in the fear of our God? And here's the reason again. Because of the reproach of the nations and our enemies. Nehemiah is saying to the leaders, do you not know that when you have conflict like that and what you're selling your brothers, you're charging them interest, you're ripping them off, they're starving to death. Do you not know that the world is watching us, that our enemies are watching us, and we bring a reproach upon God? Listen, there is nothing worse in a church to be called by the world or people down the street a fighting church. You know what I mean?
Well, Pastor Bill will be back tomorrow to finish out the week with the conclusion to today's message. And we do hope you'll tune in again. Amen. We want to thank you for listening with us today, and we pray that the remainder of your day is blessed. Good day, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.